Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your phone call is welcome at 869-1330. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Send in the clowns. All right, Dusty, that's a good one, although I've never heard that particular version. But when you're talking about a Democrat presidential debate recap, I guess Send in the Clowns is an appropriate song intro. Thankfully, however, Tuesday's debate was the final of the Democrat presidential primary debates prior to next month's Iowa caucuses, and it was the usual liberal pander fest that we've come to expect from the clown car. But even their allies over at CNN were forced to admit that this was a bad night for the field of socialist elites up on the debate stage.
And we are back here in Des Moines, Iowa, talking about the debate that was. Was it different than you? It was much different than you had, than a lot of us.
I have to just say, you know, I came away feeling worried for the Democratic Party. I felt like tonight was a night that they were going to all put the fireworks out there. You're going to see the best of the best. And it just felt like a big bowl of cold oatmeal.
Wow, a big bowl of cold oatmeal. I couldn't have said it better myself. Joining us now is Charmaine Yost, Vice President of the Institute for Family, Community, and Opportunity at the Heritage Foundation. Charmaine, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is great.
So Van Jones said he came away feeling worried for the Democratic Party. It's good news for Donald Trump. Why would he say that, though? I mean, it's a great moment of honesty for them, but I'm just surprised CNN was actually honest for a change.
You know, it's interesting. Van, as a political analyst, I find him to be more realistic than a lot of people. And I think that, you know, I don't know that he is, you know, seeing things as clearly as maybe somebody who's outside, who's not particularly worried one way or the other about the Democrats versus Republicans. I think you can look at it from a policy perspective. And, you know, at Heritage Foundation, that's what we do. And we're looking at it and saying, you know, these guys are out of step with where the American people are. And frankly, you know, on my Twitter account, I put this as I was watching it. There was one word that I was really struck by. And honestly, if you'd been playing a drinking game with this word, you'd have just been put under in the first 5 minutes. But it was, you know, free college, free healthcare, free this, free that. You're just left going, golly, where's the money going to come from? And it's coming from you and me.
Yeah, well, they do. I agree with you on that. Everything is free. That and fair share. I love that one, too. If you go with fair share, our governor's been saying that a lot. But, you know, even CNN co-host Chris Cuomo stated it best when he said, quote, "The consensus, though, is that this was not the type of night of ambition we expected." I mean, I was just kind of surprised at the post-debate coverage. It really fell flat. This was not what you would expect, you know, gearing up to the Iowa caucuses less than a month away.
Yeah, well, I mean, how would you like to be in a position of having to sell yourself as a socialist when the American economy is just booming right now? I mean, their arguments are really falling flat because they're completely out of touch with what is actually happening in the country. And so I think that's a real challenge for them. And it's going to be fascinating moving forward in terms of, you know, as they try to find their footing and find a candidate who actually speaks to the American people. I mean, you know, one of the other things that I think is interesting from analysts who have a little bit more of a vested interest in the Democrats doing well, they've been criticizing Elizabeth Warren. You know, they're concerned about the fact that her numbers have been going downhill. But if you do a scatter plot of how much and where she's been visiting in Iowa, it's a very, very tight circle. And she, you know, hasn't been outside of the main Des Moines area. So, you know, finding their connection to real people, I think, is turning into a real challenge for them.
Well, and it is interesting to watch you mentioned it in our conversation, how they really have been pushing the, and I don't know if it's their louder part of the party has just been forcing this, the whole Democrat Party so far to the left. During this 3-hour, basically, LibFest, they didn't really cover any new ground. It was just the same old socialist pander fest. It was, you know, Medicaid for all and free college and free this and free, as you said, free, free, free. The surprising part, they didn't really get into the economy much, because how can you, when you're talking about the lowest unemployment? I mean, the numbers are so good, they really don't want to talk about the economy. But nothing new really came out of this. They don't, there's no new ideas. It's all the giveaways and then debating who's going to give away the most.
Right, and kind of trying to foment this class warfare and, you know, dissatisfaction and identity politics, which to me, it's just really troubling. You see an awful lot of demagoguery, an awful lot of trying to make up problems where they don't actually exist. I'm frankly very concerned about how they're demagoguing the situation with Iran and kind of appalling, actually, as an army mom to see them really in some instances, and now I'm straying a little bit from the actual debate, but talking about the broader political agenda right now of seeing an awful lot of people on the left in what appears to be really trying to stir up challenges where things are actually being handled in a very kind of even-handed kind of way.
No, you're right, and thank you for your sacrifice. I've noticed that too. I had a guest on last week, and we talked about this very fact that the way they almost pitied Soleimani, how they martyred him, and they really turned that into an attack on the president. It was really disgusting the way they covered that. There was one other rather embarrassing moment from the debate, and it actually occurred after the event was over. During the debate, and I'll play the clip here, but during the debate, Senator Sanders denied telling Senator Warren during a private meeting in 2000, I guess it was 2016, that he did not believe, or 2018 rather, he didn't believe a woman could win the presidency. And this came up. The moderator asks the question. It was an odd moment, and I'll play the clip, and then we'll play what happened afterwards.
CNN reported yesterday that, and Senator Warren confirmed in a statement, that in 2018, you told her that you did not believe that a woman could win the election. Why did you say that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't say it. And I don't want to waste a whole lot of time on this, because this is what Donald Trump and maybe some of the media want. Anybody knows me knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States.
Senator Sanders, I do want to be clear here. You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
I disagreed. Bernie is my friend, and I am not here to try to fight with Bernie.
So I mean, obviously that exchange was awkward. You know, there was those moments when it was quite a bit of a tit for tat, and you could see their body language. The really entertaining moment, Charmaine, and I don't know if you saw it, was after the fact. The candidates all meet at the stage and they shake hands. There was an odd moment after the debate that only lasts about 15 seconds or so. CNN has released the audio of this, and I'll play it for you, where Elizabeth Warren approaches Bernie Sanders and this very bizarre exchange occurs. And we'll play it for you now.
I think you told me me a liar on national TV?
What?
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion, we'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi.
So that was really odd. I think Senator Warren walks up to him and says, I think you called me a liar on national TV. And then he says, I think you called me a liar. And it was this childish exchange, almost a neener-neener moment. Did you see this?
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I just can't help myself from commenting on. Don't you love that tiny little clip in the background where Tom Steyer says, well, yes. Did I just want to say hi?
Yeah, I thought that was funny, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not to get off of your other point, which is more important. Listen, isn't this just another example, though, of the manufactured crisis, right? Like, it's fascinating to me to hear their tone of voice where all the pretense and the polish drops away when
yes.
they're just talking to each other. They're clearly both very angry about this. And, you know, my favorite part of it is where, you know, Dana Bash gets the response from Bernie where he says, I didn't say that. And then she turns around and asks Elizabeth Warren, well, what did you say when he did say that? It's like, here we have actual real issues going on in our country, you know, with Iran being belligerent and people, you know, demonstrating in the streets, and they're gonna have this kind of petty little conversation about did you say a woman couldn't win or could not win? I mean,
right.
Come on, it is classic identity politics where instead of talking about the fact that Elizabeth Warren's polling is cratering because her policies are out of touch with the American people, they want to blame it on being a woman or, you know, whatever. You know, the whole thing about saying, oh, wow, look at this unrepresentative sample of American people standing up on the stage. You know, I have a lot of issues with the various candidates and the things that they had to say. But, you know, who and what they represent, I think, is, you know, just classic liberal putting people in a box when they should be judged based on what their policies are and how they're articulating those on behalf of the American people.
No, you make a good point. Yeah, one of the things that has been brought up repeatedly, I've seen ad nauseum the stories about how Democrats are upset that their field of candidates has been willowed down to a bunch of old white people. And yet they don't really discuss the fact that every platform is multi-trillions of dollars and none of them have a way to pay for it. That story is lost. The fact that this, you're looking at bankrupting the national economy in this giveaway of, you know, free, 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 that does, nobody cares about that. But, oh, boy, they do care about the fact that it's all white guys and a couple of white women. This is what they care about. They care about identity politics. They don't care about substance. They care about who lied to who and this and that and the other. And it's just, it shows the lack of substance that the Democrats are putting forward here. Charmaine, if my listeners want more information, where can they go to read more, can get some information? I know Heritage has got some great analysis, not only of the debate, but of the issues and their platforms and the real nitty gritty of what these folks are putting forward.
Well, thank you so much for asking that question, because we would love to meet your listeners, whether if they're visiting D.C., come by and see us. We're right downtown D.C., or come and meet us electronically at heritage.org. There or on Twitter and on Instagram, we've got a fantastic social media team that puts amazing material out there, some great charts and graphs. Just today, actually, I was looking at some data that we had put out on Instagram that's super shareable. And, I really hope your listeners will come interact with us there.
Well, and that's the key. You know, when we hear the long litany of giveaways, it's important that conservatives can articulate, can defend our principles and can say, no, here's the reality. Here's what the costs are associated with the, because, you know, liberals do want to give away stuff and it sounds great on paper. But when you actually put the rubber to the road, that's when the reality kicks in. Charmaine, thank you again for coming on, for joining us this evening, and carry on the fight. I appreciate you.
Gosh, thank you so much. Happy to come anytime.
Always a pleasure having folks from the Heritage Foundation on. It's a wonderful organization with some great, valuable information. Don't go anywhere. After a quick break, House Majority Leader Dan Hawkins and Nick Horton from the Foundation for Government Accountability are going to shine the light of truth on the Denning-Kelly Obamacare expansion plan. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.